next scripture comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, first 10 verses. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Let us pray. O living and true God, the words that I speak today, enliven and energize them by the power of your Spirit, so that there'll be not just human words, but your word to us as we continue to wait for your Son and work witness in his name. We pray through him. Amen. Pastor H.B. Charles tells about a woman he knew who would show up at his church and pray the same basic, simple prayer every time she was there. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. She repeated it week after week. The kids at the church got to the point where they would start laughing every time that she opened her mouth because they knew what was coming out. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. And finally, someone asked her, why do you always say the same simple little prayer? And she said, well, I'm basically just combining the two prayers that I know. You see, we live in a bad neighborhood and bullets fly at night, so I grab my daughter and we get down on the floor, and in that state of desperation, I cry out, oh Lord. And then when we wake up in the morning and we're safe, I say, thank you, Jesus. And then when I take my baby to the bus stop, she said, and get on that bus, and I'm not sure what's going to happen to her during the course of the day, I say, oh, Lord. And then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when that bus gets back and she's safe, I say, thank you, Jesus. So basically, she said, I'm just taking the two prayers that I know, and I'm putting them together. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. We'll open up Paul's letters, and most of the time you'll hear him in response to God's goodness praying. And it's usually some variation on the basic prayer, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And what Paul is giving thanks for, well, it depends on which church he's writing to. In one situation, he might be praying, thank you, Lord, for the faith exhibited by the believers in Rome. or thank you, Lord, for the spiritual giftedness of the believers in Corinth, or thank you, Lord, for the expansive love of the believers in Ephesus, or thank you, Lord, for something that's going on in one of the other congregations. Thank you, Lord, for the generosity of the believers in Philippi. And today's text, it follows a similar kind of pattern. As Paul begins his letter to the believers in Thessalonica, he greets them, and then he says this: "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers." Now, note, too, that it's not just Paul praying. It's Paul and his leadership team, in particular, in this case, Silas and Timothy. Together, they've become very much like parents to the people in this congregation. And like children who are really never far from the thoughts of their parents in some way or another, so these folks in this congregation are regularly on the mind of Paul and the others on his leadership team. That's why in his prayers, in their prayers, they're saying, "We always thank God for all of you." So whenever the Thessalonians come to mind for Paul, his default reaction is gratitude for them. In fact, the opening section of this letter has so much gratitude in it that we're not really sure where Paul stops giving thanks. Some say that it's the end of verse 5. Others say, well, no, it's actually closer to verse 10. There's a section of thanksgiving in chapter 2, as well as a brief word of thanks in chapter 3 as well. So though opinions vary on that particular question, there's no doubt that this letter contains a profusion of gratitude when the gospel arrives, when the good news of Jesus Christ arrives and starts calling forth faith from the folks who hear it. The basic reaction is, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Now remember, as Paul prays with thanks, that he's expressing this gratitude most of all to God, because he knows that the fruit he sees in the lives of the Thessalonians has its root in the grace of God. In other words, without the loving initiative of God coming to us with salvation through Jesus Christ, there's no congregation to give thanks for in the first place without that. That's why Paul goes on to identify some of the essential signs of God's grace that he sees in the Thessalonian believers. Listen to him again when he writes, "We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Faith, love, and hope. Now, you might recognize that trio from 1 Corinthians, where Paul writes to that church about the supremacy and the priority of love in the life of the congregation. But the greatest of these is love. Before that, he leads up, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Well, here in 1 Thessalonians, we've got the same three, though in a slightly different order. And in this case, each of the qualities is introduced and governed by another kind of term. Go back to them again. Work produced by faith. Labor prompted by love. Endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are more than just eloquent words of affirmation. They do have a certain flow to them, certain beauty to them, but they're more than just flowing words of affirmation. They're also a clue to what Paul is going to talk about in the rest of this letter. And that's something that Paul usually does. He often takes the greeting and the thanksgiving portion of his letter and uses that as a signal of what's going to be coming up in the rest of the letter. Pastor Earl Palmer has pointed out, we need to pay attention to Paul's prayers, because when you hear what he's praying for, you usually get a sense of what he's going to be talking about in the rest of what he writes in that letter. Palmer says, maybe it's sort of like a student who comes home from college on a break and sits down at the table with mom, and mom talks about, well, it's so wonderful to have you back here for this break, this vacation. Let's pray together. And mom leads the prayer, and it's about, God, we're thankful to have Mary back here home with us on this break and the time that we can spend together. And we pray that it'll be a good experience for all of us. We pray that while she's in school, she'll study hard and make good grades and eventually make lots of money. Amen. Now, that prayer is more than just a prayer, it sounds like. It's an indication of some of the conversations that may happen while that student's home on break about studying hard, maybe, or job prospects, or those kinds of things. This is sort of the way Paul operates in some of his opening prayers. He's not being insincere and giving thanks to God, but he's also, in that prayer, giving them an indication of what else he wants to talk about in the letter. Paul prays with thanks for the Thessalonians' work produced by faith. Now, he's probably not talking about a particular act of faith, but just in general, the fact that the Thessalonians' faith is active. It's active. In other words, faith. Faith is more than just a statement of belief, more than just intellectual agreement with a particular idea, or more than just an orientation of the heart. Those kinds of things are important. But most of all, genuine faith is outward. It's practical. Faith that's authentic comes to expression in the lives of the believers who profess it. So Paul and the others on his leadership team have seen firsthand and heard of the ways that the Thessalonians exhibit their faith. They don't just profess it, they exhibit it, particularly in their life together. Secondly, Paul prays with thanks for the Thessalonians' labor prompted by love. And the word that he uses there for labor, it's a word that has to do with tiredness that comes from demanding physical labor or heat or exertion, those kinds of things. This is the kind of love that takes the form of sacrifice. It's demanding. It leads to a certain kind of fatigue. Sometimes we use the expression labor of love, and we use it to talk about some kind of action or series of action that requires something of us. It's deeply satisfying, yes, but it also costs us in some way in order to express the love that wants to be expressed. It's a labor of love. It's costly. Requires some kind of sacrifice. So that's similar to what Paul is talking about here too. And then thirdly, Paul prays with thanks for the Thessalonians' endurance, he says, inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he doesn't just mean that the Thessalonians by nature are cheerful, optimistic people. That's not really his point. He's talking about a particular kind of hope. Hope, he says, in our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, hope grounded in the promise of Jesus' return, the loving initiative of God that's come to them through the preaching of the gospel, to which they responded in faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. All this will be brought to completion at the coming of Christ. So work, labor, endurance. These were the essential marks of the new life that the Thessalonians were practicing. And keep in mind that these weren't their achievements. These weren't things that they accomplished. The work, the labor, the endurance sprang from faith and love and hope. And where did the faith and the love and the hope come from to begin with? Well, it came from God being present and active in their lives and in the life of their congregation. So it's no wonder that as Paul listens and watches their life together and then begins to pray, it all eventually comes back down to, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I like the way that one preacher's put it when he says, when the grace of Jesus penetrates the human heart, it rebounds back to God as gratitude. When the grace of Jesus penetrates the human heart, it rebounds back to God as gratitude. I think that's part of what Paul is expressing today in our text. The grace of Jesus that has penetrated his heart, his co-workers' hearts, the hearts of the Thessalonians, is rebounding back to God in that sense through his prayer of thanks. And that's not only thanks for the grace, but more specifically for all the ways that the grace of God is showing up and showing forth in the life of that congregation. So today, I also want to give thanks for all the ways that the grace of God shows up and shows forth in the life of you here in our congregation. I think a good example of that is today's vote of affirmation on the recommendation that our nominating committee made earlier about officers and committees for 2019 and 2020. At one level, we could just view that as a routine matter in the life of our congregation here. Our nominating committee has been about seeking people to serve, makes its recommendations to us. The church gives it its stamp of approval. This could be taken in one sense as just an annual formality. That's one way to look at it. But I think at another level, this that was presented to us earlier and that's still up here on the pulpit beside me, this is more than just a list of who's doing what in the life of our congregation. It's actually a line-by-line description of how the grace of God shows up and shows forth in the life of his people here called Grace Baptist Church. That's another way of looking at it and considering what we did earlier. Gifts in preaching or teaching or hospitality or giving or serving or administration or other ways that God has gifted us here in our church. That's the way the gospel accomplishes its purpose. When you take this list and note it carefully, it's basically each name from first on this page to the bottom of the last page saying, "Thank you, Lord. Here I am. This is what I want to offer of myself in service to you and to this church because of your grace in Jesus Christ." That's another way to look at it and what we did this morning too, by offering ourselves to God, trusting him to use us to strengthen our congregation. So whatever particular part you play, I just want to say this morning, thanks to you. And most of all, thanks to God for you. Remember that not every role that's needed and goes on in the life of this church is printed here on this list. There are all sorts of other things that may not be listed in some sort of official capacity, but that go on regularly in the life of our church beyond the official list of officers and committees. What's more, some forms of ministry and service in our church are less visible and may not get as much publicity or attention, but are no less essential and important. I think of those who serve in our nursery ministry every week. I think of those who are tellers in our church who count the offering, process it for the bank. Those who do building repairs and maintenance around our facility here. Those who help set up the tables and organize things so that we can enjoy a fellowship meal each month. These kinds of things that don't get a lot of notoriety or publicity or exposure, but there are so many folks serving in humble, faithful ways here in this church, week in and week out, that help this church be what it is and do what it does for the praise and glory of God. So let's keep that in mind today as well. When you take this list and look at it, you may note some changes here and there in it. But for the most part, you may note that it looks like a lot of the folks who've been serving in a certain way in a certain place are doing it again the year coming up. And We could chalk that up to different kinds of things, a matter of repetition or familiarity, or maybe because it's harder with fewer folks to find folks to serve in certain ways. And those can all be part of the picture, I think. But I think it's most of all, when you look at it, it's a matter of faith. When you see the names there, to think of faith in people's lives and their desire for their faith to be active in the life of God's church. So it's a matter of faith. It's also a matter of love. Love from people who want to work hard and sacrificially in the life of God's church. It's also a matter of hope. When you look at the list, you may see folks who served for a long time in very particular positions over and over and over again. That's not just a matter of repetition. That's a matter of endurance and steadfastness and faithfulness that springs from what? Hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we look at all the names on the list here before us today, there are certain ways we could see it or think of it or reflect on it. But we could also see it as an expression of work and labor and endurance. And where do those things come from that you see in the lives of people in this church? It comes out of faith and love and hope. And where does all that come from? Well, that comes from the work of God in our lives, in the grace of Jesus Christ. Work, labor, and endurance, rooted in faith, love, and hope. That's what I see when I look at our congregation's list of officers and committees. And I see it not just on paper, I see it in person as God works in us and through us, and people offer their lives to Christ and to his service as we wait for him from heaven. And while we work and while we wait, we voice our gratitude for one another. Thank you, Lord. I want you to join me in praying that now. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. True and living God, thank you for how your gospel has come to us, worked in us, called forth faith from us, and your spirit is still at work in us. We're grateful for one another. We're grateful for the ways that we see your grace showing up and showing forth in one another's lives in this congregation. There are so many things that we easily take for granted or go through as just routine matters of going through the motions, but we know that there's much more happening than we often see or realize. But often we do see it in the form of work and labor and endurance, grounded in faith, love, and hope. We pray that we will grow in our gratitude to you and to one another, and that we'll express our gratitude by the way that we offer our lives to you in service through Christ. We pray that you give to us now here in this church the things that we've heard about in our scripture today. We pray for the work of your Spirit that we will exhibit the work that comes from faith, the labor that comes from love, and the endurance that comes from hope in Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.